Han vår ge vårt vå ge vårt vinser på. Amen. Last week we spoke about stewardship, and we said that throughout this entire time of Lent we are going to talk about stewardship and what stewardship is. And it's not paying the bills. It's not staying in budget. It's not covering our costs or making sure the lights stay on. But it's something more than that. Stewardship is an invitation to people to invite them to participate in something greater than themselves. It's an invitation to invite people to participate in a mission and a vision of God's kingdom on earth. Our parish's mission, as I said, is found on the back of our Sunday bulletin at the bottom. And it says, St. Sarkis, your home, growing in Christ, community, and culture. And we also learned that last week there are three major ways that people participate in stewardship. We participate in time, by giving our time, by giving our talents, and by giving our treasures, our money. And today we're going to learn about our treasures, and probably the least favorite one to speak about, how our money helps the kingdom of God grow. So as I said, there's a joke which many of you have probably heard with different characters in it, but I will, because we're Armenian, and we know how we are, I've included the Armenians in it. And it says that there are three people, three men standing together, and they're talking about how to donate money, how they decide how much money to give to God, to the church. There's a Protestant, a Roman Catholic, and an Armenian. And so the Protestant says, it's very easy. I draw a circle on the ground, and I throw the money, what I have, up in the air. And whatever falls in the circle, I give to God, to the church. Whatever falls outside of the circle, I keep. And the Roman Catholic says, that's good. But I do something a little similar, but different at the same time. I also draw a circle on the ground. And I throw the money up in the air. And whatever falls in the circle, I keep. And whatever falls outside the circle, I give to God. I give to the church. And the Armenian is watching and says, I have the most intelligent way of doing it. I draw a circle on the ground, and I throw the money up in the air. And whatever God wants, he takes. And whatever falls on the ground, I keep. It's an interesting fact that in the Bible, it speaks very, very often about money and about possessions. In the Bible, if we read it from beginning to end, about 500 times, a little bit more than 500 times, there is the mention of prayer. A little bit more than 400 times, it mentions faith. But in the Bible, it mentions 2,300 times about money and possessions. And so the question then arises, why? Why is it also in Christ's preaching, he talks more about money than anything else? And the reason is as follows. First, money affects relationships. Whether we like it or not, money affects relationships. We often hear the saying, don't do business with your friends, and especially don't do business with family, because you will always be burned when you end up doing that. Somebody is going to come out on the wrong side, and there's going to be hard feelings later on. Because money, whether we like it or not, affects us. It touches a spot in us, and a part in us that we don't want anyone else to touch or to know about. But the other thing is, along with that, I should say, is for most of us who are of the older, who have jobs and have mortgages and have all these things, we are constantly thinking about money. If we think about it for real, throughout the week, how many times do we think, how much money do I have to save? How much am I going to pay? What are my bills going to be? What is this? What is that? How am I going to provide for my children or for the future? We're constantly thinking about money. So money is everywhere, whether we like it or not. It is involved in our lives. But the other thing is, money is used to show how committed we are to Christ, how committed we are to his mission on earth. This is what money does also. There's the saying, show me your bank account and I will show you where your heart is, how dedicated you are, how true you are to your faith. Because we all know those people, and those priests as well, who preach and talk about giving and doing things, but they don't give a dime. We all know them. But the real thing is, our money is a way to show God, not others, to show God who we are and what we believe in? Do we put our trust in our 401ks? Do we put our trust in our bank accounts and our wallets? Or do we put our trust in Christ? In the Old Testament, it talks about tithing. Armenians have never been big into tithing. We don't like it. It's not because it's old. It's just something that's not in our tradition to tithe, to give 10% of our earnings every year. But in the New Testament, in fact, it says something else. In the New Testament, it tells us that we must give proportionately. We must give according to what we have. And St. Paul writes this in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, on the first day of every week, Sunday, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. The fact is, we all are supposed to put a little bit off to the side, a little bit to God. Some of us give a little, some of us give more, but the amount we give, and we're going to learn about this in a moment, is not as important as the fact that we are giving. And then we must give sacrificially. We must give because what we receive, we must give back. So often we have the wrong understanding that when we get a raise, or we find money, or if you're lucky enough to win the lotto one day, right? We all say, now I have this money and I can do what I want with it. And I can buy this, or I can buy that, or I can buy that thing. But in reality, maybe God is giving us more money so that we give it back to him. So that we help others. Not so that we buy more things. We live in a society today, a consumer society, where we have so many things. Anyone who has moved knows how many things you can collect in a couple of years. And it's a lot. And during this Lenten season, it is a time for us to learn to be free of those things. Because the more things we have, the more masters we have. We become slaves to these things. And Christianity teaches us to be freed of these things, to let these things go and not be possessed by our possessions. The question then arises, why should we give at all? Why should we do that? There are those that say, I don't have enough money to give. I don't have enough. And there are others that say, the church should be doing more so that I give. Why should I give to the church? They don't do anything for me. As we heard, Dad Hyde's lazy. Right? Dad Hyde's lazy. He doesn't sing well. He only talks about money so his pockets can get bigger. Believe me, I don't have any big pockets. Look at me. But we have these reasons why we don't give. We make up excuses why not to give. I have a mortgage to pay. I have this to do. I have that to do. These things come first, and then if there's something left over, I'll give it to the church. Where it should be the reverse, right? Many investors say, pay yourself first, and then pay all your bills. Do all that you need to do. Likewise, we should pay God first. We should thank God first and then do everything else. Not do everything else first and then if there's something left over, okay, God, I'll give you something. We give back what we earn because it shows our trust in God. It shows our trust in God and we tell God, you know what, God? I know this month is going to be difficult. I have this to pay, and this to pay. But I believe and I trust in you, and I know that whatever happens, you will provide somehow for me. And so I am going to give it to you. But the other thing that God allows us to do by giving is by allowing him to work through us. God has no hands in this world except for us. He has no feet in this world except for us. He has no mouth in this world except for us. We are his body. And so when we give, we are allowing God's glory to be manifest in this world. Some of us will say again, I don't have much. I have $5. If that, how am I supposed to do this? And the greatest example in the Gospels is and it's found in all four Gospels. is the feeding of the 5,000. A little boy comes and says, and they say all this little boy has is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he is able, Christ, to take that little donation and multiply it and feed 5,000 people. 5,000 men, it says, not including women and children. So even more than that. Likewise, we may only have $5, $10, $20. But that little that we give from our heart, God will take, he will multiply it and make it a blessing for many, many people. We may not see it immediately, but we have to believe that it will happen, and then we will see the results of that later on. Because when the day comes, when we stand before the judgment seat, and he asks, why didn't you help my church grow? Why were you more concerned about your retirement? And I'm not saying not to listen to your retirement. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is, when there are those that are in need, when the church needs it, why don't you do that? What are we going to say? I took my $5 and went to Starbucks and bought something there instead? That would be a terrible day for many of us, myself included. So giving, especially money, must be done not through guilt and not through trickery, because we've been in that place where we feel so awkward, and we've had it, where Dad comes and asks for something, and you are put in a position where you can't say no, right? I make you an offer you can't refuse, coming from New Jersey. But we may not be rich, according to what the world says richness is. But we have to remember what St. John Chrysostom, the great patriarch of Constantinople of the 4th century, says. He says, a rich man is not one who has much, but one who gives much. For whatever he gives away will remain his forever. Amen.